sugya about the ritzuos, and we saw in the context of the conversation about the din of blackening them, the question of the relationship between the ritzua and the batim. I believe the question we discussed yesterday can be connected to how we understand the next part of the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, and again, there's three parts. Let's go one by one. Let's start with the first one. The Gemara talks about a case where the ritzua breaks. It says, Abaya have Yosef kamei de Rabbi Yosef. If siklei ritzua de tefillah, his ritzua snapped. Amalei ma'ale miktarei, can I tie it? Amalei ukshartem ksiv, shetei kshira tama. There's a problem to do it because it's not kshira tama. The question is, what is this halacha? So Rashi writes, kshira tama, shetei akshira noe. His first shot is the kshira should be nice. V'imyesh kesher acher b'ritzua levad mi kesher koshin barosh. Two lohav yekshira yofa, has more than one knot. Like a shoelace lavna, right? There's a bunch of knots on it. Rashi then says, Lashon Acher, Kshira Tama, Ritzua Shleima Velo Kshura. Ritzua Shleima Velo Kshura. It needs to be a straight one, not a tied one. What's the relationship between these two explanations? Kshira Noe, first pshat, right? And then the second one, Kshira Tama, Pasha pshat, like it says, Tama. So, if you read Rashi carefully, it seems that according to the first Pirush, the problem is when you have another kesher, right? V'im yesh kesher acher b'ritzua, right? It's having another kesher in addition to the base one that you have. According to the Pirush Hasheni, it's not having another kesher, it's that it's not shalim. I believe one can see these two different explanations as the backdrop to the next part of the Gemara. It could be this is exactly the question the Gemara is now asking. Amalei Ravacha bereid Rabbi Yosef leRavashi ma'ol mitpere va'il letzfir legav. Can you sew it and put the sewing marks on the inside? He answered, Amar pokhazi mayim adover. Go see what the minog is. And Rashi and Tosus have a machlokes about what the minog actually is. What understanding of kshira tamo would answer tefira and which one wouldn't? Well, if we say our reading of the first pshat in Rashi is correct, that it's a problem when you have another kesher. Well, here it's not another kesher, right? It's just tefira. But if you're saying that it's not whole, right, so tefira may not make it whole either. And I think you see this linkage in the words of the Rokeach. Let's look at page 4. The first Makar on page 4, the Rokeach writes, Shetehek shira tama, shelo yitfar o yikshar, shelo yitfar o yikshar, shein zek shira shel kayama, ki tzricha haratzuya lios shlema. Which way does he understand it? Like Rashi's first shot or second shot? What?
Second.
The second, right? He's talking about Shlemus, right? Not Noah, Shlemus. And that makes it understandable that he answers both Kshira and Tvira. Can I borrow Moshe's pencil there? Okay, you see the connection here in the Rokeach. Another nafkamina of this question would be where the break occurs. Where the break occurs. I'll explain what I mean. Is the problem only when the break occurs in the area of the tie? What do I mean the area of the tie? Think shel rosh, think shel yad. There's the loop of the tie, and then there's the ritzua that continues. Is the break a problem if it's within the area of the tie or anywhere? If you take a look at the rush, let's take a look together. Simen yud aleph, the end of the simen. The Rush writes it's only a problem in the area of the tie. Let's take a look. Those who have, take a look. And here he writes, Simen Yud Aleph. Umayri Benifsika, it's after Mem Aleph in parentheses. Umayri Benifsika Ritzuah Nakevis Arosh Ba'azroah. The part that surrounds the head or the arm. To Hasim Be'inak Shira Tama, Shelo Yu Shama Shnei Ksharim. Only within that area. First of all, which pshat of Rashi does he go by? The first or the second?
First.
The first. Shelo yu sheik shnei ksharim. And that's why it's a problem, particularly in the area of the tie. And if it's about the ritzua being shlema, I could understand that it would be throughout. But if it's about two ties, it would be in the area of the tie. Interestingly, the Sefer HaTrumos disagrees with the Rashi. Let's take a look at second source, page 4. The Sefer HaTrumos writes, V'im nifsika ritzua, Upchusa mikashir, ein takana lola kosher velola tofra. He says, if the ritzua breaks within the area that you need for the shear of the ritzua, right, we'll talk about this later, there's no way of fixing it, not to tie it and not to sew it. It's interesting that he mentions sewing as well, because he holds it's not about the kshira in particular, like the second pshat of Rashi, like we said in the Rokeach. So this would be another nafkamina. Number one, is it a din? Again, is it a din in na'e or shalem? If it's na'e, it's a din in a second tie. If it's shalem, it's any type of connection, even tefira. Second nafkamina is where the breakage would need to be in order for it to be problematic. Now, interestingly, the Rush, further on in his piece, brings a raya. Anyone saw the Rush? What raya does he bring? Look after the bays and brackets. And he makes his point. And then he says like this. Dehaboi ravdimi lememar dim lo nishtayer biritzuos elakol shehu chutz lekasher ksheros. What's that raya? The Rush brings a raya from the next part of the Gemara. In the next part of the Gemara, let's take a look. Rav Dimi says, Gardume Ritzuos, right? It snaps after the Kesha, right? And there's a little bit left. It's okay. Kind of like my tzitzis, right? Gardume Ritzuos is okay. Right, everyone's inside here. Gardume Ritzuos Ksheros. Gardume Ritzuos Ksheros. So Rush says, look. Really, even if it's just a kol shu after the tie, it would be okay, right? That's what he suggests. So what do you see? You see the ritzuos after the tie aren't so important. What could the answer of the Sefer HaTrumas be? Yeah, b'di'eved, when it was there, but then snapped, it's okay. But the fact that l'chatchila you need to add more ritzua shows you that the ritzua beyond the tie is important, right? Just like tzitzis, it's important, the string beyond the tie. It's just that if it snaps, it's okay. But the ritzua is important. And this, of course, brings us to the question of the shear of the ritzuos. And obviously, if we're asking how important are the ritzuos beyond their role in tying the tefillin to the body, the more you require ritzua beyond the tie, the more independently significant you see it to be. And the less you require shear beyond the tie, the less significant it is. So, the Gemara continues, right, and it talks about the shear. It asks, "Kama shiurei, shiurayu, Amrami bar Chama, Amr Resh Lakish, ad etzba tzreda." Rav Kahana showed it this way, Rav Ashi showed it that way, a certain amount of expanse. The key question here is, which one of the tefillin are we talking about? How did Rashi understand it? Are we talking about the Shaliyat or the Shalrosh? People, I assume, got to this, right? Are we talking about the Shaliyat or the Shalrosh? Rashi throughout the sugya understands that we're talking about the Shalrosh. Rashi throughout the sugya understands we're talking about the Shalrosh, which may make sense because Pasha Pshat, the next part of the Gemara, is talking about the Shalrosh. Tosus makes this point. Kama shiurayu, l'chor b'tfilin Shalrosh ayri, demar pashat shadilu akteifav le'achor v'umar matlet lehu. Right? That's the next part of the Gemara. So since we're talking in the next part about the Shalrosh, this part is about the Shalrosh. Okay. In which case, this is a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush that the ritzuos of the shalrosh need to stretch beyond the kesher. Why is that a big chiddush? Because they don't do anything beyond the kesher. What do the ritzuos of the shalrosh do after the kesher? Do they play any functional role? They just lie there. So if you have a shear by the shalrosh ritzuos beyond the tie, that's very significant in implying that they're independently significant. I emphasize this because Tosus then quotes the Aruch, who says the Gemara here is talking about the Shelyad, the shear of the Shelyad. And it actually makes a lot of sense, because what shiurim does the Gemara give regarding the ritzuos? Fingers. So it makes sense to say the shear of the ritzuos of the Shelyad goes until the finger, right? Because you're tying it. This is a very different understanding, right? The idea that the ritzuos of the Shelyad would have a shear could be more easily explainable as being about their functionality in tying the tefillin to the body as opposed to standing independently, right? Because they don't stand independently, they tie. So the Aruch that Tosfos quotes could be explained in a more traditional, less emphasizing of the ritzuos role. What's interesting though is, and I assume people saw the Tosfos in the end then says, according to the Aruch, that the Gemara is talking about the Shelyad. Do the ritzuos of the Shelyrosh have a shear? What does Tosfos say? Yeah. gives all kinds of shir, until the belly button, until the here, until the bris, until here, right? And I think, according to Tosfos, one can say, it may not be me'ikar adin, might be minhagim, but the more significant these things are, the more you're saying that the ritzuos of the Shel Rosh have a role. The role is connecting the tefillin that sit on the head to other parts of the body that have significance, right? We want to connect the tefillin to the bris, we want to connect the tefillin to the tibor, right, to the belly button, etc., to the lave. The ritzuos are that connective piece, right? Because the box sits in only one place. The ritzuos stretches it down. I think the nafkamina of all this is how we understand the next part of the Gemara. Note how we're connecting each part of the Gemara with the part that comes, you know, before it. The Gemara now talks about how the straps would lie. Rabba kater lehu upashet bishadi lehu. Rav Acha bar Yaakov kater lehu umatlit lehu. Marbered Ravina avid kedidan. And of course the question is, what does kedidan mean? The key question here is, Rabba and Rav Acha bar Yaakov, again, which tefillin are they talking about? Shel Yad or Shel Rosh? What does Rashi say? Shel Rosh. And what does Rashi say the machlokis between them is? Rabba, what did he do with the straps?
Stuck them behind himself.
He would tie it and throw them behind himself, right? What did Rav Acha bar Yaakov do with the straps? He would wear them in front, like we do, right? How can you understand that machloket? I think it's pashut, right? No, how can you understand that machloket? If you're leaving it behind you, number one, it doesn't make a statement. It's behind you, right? In contrast, it's just a continuation of the kesher, right? You have a kesher, and then you let it fall down, right? So they really are a continuation of the kesher. If you're taking them from the back where the kesher is and putting them in front, I would even say displaying them in front, then the ritzuot have some role, right? They're meant to be seen. They're meant to be presented. They're part of how the tefillin presents itself in the front. The box sits on the front. Right? The kesher sits on the back. That's what connects it to the head. If it sat on the front, it would fall down, right? The kesher connects it to the head. The ritzuos are part of the front of the tefillin, right? The Kesef Mishnah, though, understood from the Rambam that he understood the Gemara differently. The Kesef Mishnah understood from the Rambam that he understood the Gemara differently. Why? Because if you take a look at the Rambam, Perikim Alocha Yud Beis, the Rambam writes, the Orech Ratzua Shel Yad, Kedei Shetakif Es Hazroa VeYikshur Mimenu HaKesher, VeTimtach Ratzua Achas Al Etzba Emtzait, VeYichroch Mimenu Al Etzbo Shalosh Krichos VeYikshur. He says the length of the ritzua is that it reaches down the arm, right? And you can tie around your finger three times. Where do you see that in the Gemara? Gemara doesn't say that. He doesn't say it's a minog. He says that's the length of the ritzua. No, where do you see it in the Gemara? Okay, so Mishnah says that's how the Rambam understood the words of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov kater lehu umatlit lehu. Matlit from the word shalosh, like tlat. In Aramaic, right? You have the taf instead of the shin. Umatlit. You have to spin it around three times. The Rambam understood, says the Kesef Mishnah, that Rabba and Rav Acha bar Yaakov were describing different tefillins. The Shel Rosh, you let lie. The Shel Yad has to be spun, and that's the shear of the Ritzua Shel Yad. You see this idea in the Tshuva of the Rambam as well. The Rambam Simen Kuf Nun Tes was asked about this Gemara. The Rambam wrote his Mishnah Torah. Many people asked him about things in the Mishnah Torah. V'yoreinu b'davar mashehizkir hadraso b'hilchas tefillin b'orich ritzua shel yad b'perek gimel k'dei sheyakif es hazroa v'yikshu min ha'kesher v'imtiach ritzua achat ad etzba imtzoi v'yikshu min ha'zlo shlosh kri v'yikshar zeh ha'kesher al etzbo she'achrei ha'krichos heimu mechayiv b'hechrech imlav. They're asking, is the spinning around the fingers, is it necessary or not? The Rambam writes, Hatshuva, Krichas haritzua ala kiboris, tying it around the muscle. He hakesha shenemra love kshira. V'etzla nigmar abrocha. That's the ikar mitzvah. Aval kshiras haritzua al haetzpa, he acharei abrocha. Tying it on the fingers after you make the bracha. Uva tiyek shira tama. V'en hakesha ala etzpa muchruch. It's not necessary, it's not ma'akev, but what does it fulfill? What two powerful words does the Rambam use? Kshira tama. Such an interesting application of the Rambam, right? Kshira tama. It's not just the ritzua being whole, not just what you tie with, but it needs to be tied in such a way. And what makes it tama? The fact that it doesn't move. And what makes it not move? The fact that it's around the finger, right? If you're tying it around your arm, and you tie it over here, look, you tie it here, it can move, right? You tie it around your finger, it makes it harder, the finger holds it, right? The Aruch HaShulchan then writes, take a look, Aruch Ritzua Shel Yad Kedei Shetakav Zezroa V'yikshu Menu HaKesh V'dim Tachal Etzbah Emtzoy V'yikshu Menu HaEtzbah Grimel Krichas Shnayim B'Perek HaTachan L'Chab B'Perek Emtzoy, the different parts of the knuckle, right? V'yikshar, and then tie it. Klomer Sheyitchav HaRitzua Bo'ofen Shetitkayim. What's he talking about? You stick the ritzua in a way that it'll stay. What does that mean? Tie it around your finger. Tie it on your arm. You tie it like this, and then everyone look. You tuck it in, right? You tie it. You tuck it in. The Aruch HaShulchan understands that tucking in is important. It's part of the kiyum. It's a continuation of the kiyum that the fingers are meant to accomplish, according to the Rambam. To summarize the point, all this only accentuates the distinction we made a few minutes ago. The role of the ritzuos of the Shel Rosh is to be displayed. The role of the ritzuos of the Shel Yad is to continue the tying to the body. Right? So if we're asking about the status of the ritzuos as independent or not, there could be a very clear distinction between the Shel Rosh and the Shel Yad, right? Which brings us to the final point, where the Rambam could be explained l'shitaso. If we are making such a distinction between the ritzuos of the Shel Rosh and the Shel Yad, well, which one of the ritzuos would be more significant, according to this? Would be more independently significant? Shel Rosh. Which would explain the Rambam's psak in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Zayin, where he says that just like you can't change a tefillin Shel Yad to be a tefillin Shel Rosh to be a tefillin Shel Yad, you can't change the ritzuos either. Let's take a look. Tefillah shel rosh ein osinota shel yad v'shel yad osinota shel rosh. Lefi she'ein moridin mikdusha chamura lekdusha kala. V'chein ritzua shel tefillah shel rosh ein osinota letefillah shel yad. Interestingly, here the Rambam doesn't say lefi she'ein moridin mikdusha chamura lekdusha kala, right? Because maybe this isn't about the kedusha. Maybe it's about the fact that the ritzuos shel rosh are more significant. They stand alone. You're taking a ritzua that had a statement to it and now using it as something that's merely a tie for the tefillin. This makes a lot of sense in light of what we just saw in the Rambam Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Beis and how we understood the Gemara. Rabba, Rav Acha, Rav Yaakov aren't two versions of the Shel Rosh. It's the Shel Rosh versus the Shel Yad. Interesting stuff. Okay, I think we tied up the sugya.
Oh, no.
No strings attached. I think we're done. Ronnie feels we should have been done before the last line. Music? Are you supposed to come on now, the music?